time now for Radio America, featuring the best in retro radio, those great old shows you love. Broadcast from south of the Mason-Dixon line, from the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's Radio America, from the days of good, clean fun on the radio. So sit back, relax, and prepare to have a great time right here with us on Radio America.
And now, Dick Tracy! This is Dick Tracy on the case of the positive negative. Stand by for action. Let's go, men. Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order.
Before we hear Dick Tracy, I'd like to read you a letter I received from young Dave Lynch of Penacook, New Hampshire. Dear Mr. Gunn, in a recent broadcast of Dick Tracy, you said that there was no explanation for the Northern Lights. Read the National Geographic magazine dated November 1947, end quote. Well, I immediately visited the library here at ABC and found the article the letter mentioned, written by Dr. Carl W. Gartline, a physicist at Cornell University. Dr. Gartline offered a really excellent explanation for the Northern Lights. I'd like to pass it on to you. First of all, as the sun rotates on its axis, it throws off gigantic streams of electrified particles which flow from the sun out into space for millions of miles. It's very much like a garden sprinkler. If you can picture the sun spinning round and round like a rotating garden sprinkler, you can see that all these particles spout in streams just like the jets of water that flow from the sprinkler. Well, sometimes one of these streams of particles catches the Earth as it moves through space. Uh-oh, I don't have time to finish right now. I tell you what I'll do. I'll be back with the rest of the story right after today's Dick Tracy episode.
And now, Dick Tracy.
Yesterday, Dick Tracy and Pat Patton suddenly realized what it was that had been retouched from the negatives that Tiptoes showed them. It was the canvas money satchel that was missing from the armored truck following the explosion. Knowing that their only hope of getting conclusive proof lay in finding the original negatives, Junior disobeyed Dick Tracy and returned to Tiptoe's darkroom to search for them. So, busily engrossed in looking through the wastebasket, he is suddenly startled to hear a voice behind him say,
"Well, my lad, did you lose something?"
I didn't hear you coming in, Mr. Focus.
My dear boy, nobody does. Goodness, what a mess you're making of this dark room.
I can't find what I'm looking for.
I rather imagine that was the case. What could it possibly be that you're looking for?
Well, it dropped in this waste paper basket. That's why I was taking everything out of it.
Come, come, what are you so nervous about? What dropped in the waste basket?
Why, the ounce weight. Yes, it dropped in while I was trying to weigh out the potassium bromide from a stigmat.
Ah, yes, the ounce weight, to be sure. Well, my lad, I'll help you look for it.
It's rather small.
All the more reason for both of us to look, eh, my boy?
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see. You have almost everything out of the wastebasket already, but I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
I could have sworn I saw it fall in.
Obviously, you were mistaken. Could you also have been mistaken about what it is you were looking for?
Oh, no, sir, I...
My friend, let's stop this nonsense. You haven't been telling me the truth. Because now I lift out the last paper in the wastebasket, and it obviously conceals... I can't believe it.
There it is. I knew I dropped it in there.
Yeah, there it is indeed. I didn't think you were telling the truth.
Well, gee, Mr. Focus, what did you think I was looking for?
Nothing, it's not important. By the way, you're here rather late, aren't you? I think you'd better be running along.
Well, don't you want me to finish measuring out that potassium bromide?
No, I'll do it myself. You might lose the scales this time.
Whatever you say, Mr. Focus. Good night.
Yeah.
Good night, Miss
Stigmat. You leaving?
Well, good night, Junior.
Tiptoes, why'd you let him go home so quickly?
Because I found myself in a very awkward predicament.
That should have been no novelty to you.
They heard you speaking angrily to Junior. Did you catch him snooping?
I thought I did. He was fumbling through the wastebasket, but it turned out that he was looking for the 1 ounce weight which he dropped. In fact, I found the weight in the basket myself.
It didn't occur to you that he might have planted it there in the event that you discovered him searching for the negative?
Yes, it did occur to me, but what was I to do?
You might have searched him to see if he found anything.
And tipped our hand when he might really be unsuspecting? That could have led to serious trouble.
You don't seem to realize that killing two bank truck drivers can also lead to serious trouble. Tiptoes, we're playing for keeps now. One slip and they'll strap us into the governor's pop-up toaster.
I wish you'd stop talking about the chair. You know what a phobia I have about electricity. It even gives me the creeps to change a flash bulb.
You'd make a great companion during a thunderstorm.
Anna, please, I don't even like to think about them.
All right, then think about this. Are you sure that Junior didn't find anything in that wastebasket?
There wasn't anything to find. I emptied it this morning.
Thoroughly?
Of course. I tossed the contents into the furnace.
You're sure nothing stuck to the bottom?
Stop worrying, will you? Everything's all right.
I hope so, but I doubt it. How about the money from the armored truck?
Put away very safely. It's hidden so well that I'll probably have trouble finding it myself.
This I am sure of. By the way, in all the excitement, I never asked you. How much was there in the satchel?
Well, I hit it almost on the nose when I said $10,000. $9,485.18.
And when are we going to spend it? You said it was all in small bills.
It is, but I still think we'd better keep it out of circulation for a while. In the meantime, we can make plenty of legitimate money.
That would be a novelty. How?
Anna, have you ever seen a waterfront fire?
Legitimate, he says. Of course, this fire is just going to happen as a result of natural causes.
Of course. Plus a couple of incendiary bombs.
How, when, where?
Well, as you've probably read in the paper, an unusual number of oil tankers have put in lately due to the fuel oil shortage.
So?
Now, they've come in faster than they can be unloaded. So several are tied up to the docks waiting for their turn, while their crews happily disport themselves around the gay spots of our fair city.
Leaving the ships comparatively unguarded.
Exactly. It shouldn't be too hard to stroll by, toss a couple of incendiary bombs onto the decks, and then wait for developments. Unless I miss my guess, they should be rather spectacular developments, too.
Well, that answers how and where. What about when?
Well, I thought tonight would be as good a time as any. There's a threat of snow in the air, and flames photograph beautifully against a background of falling snow.
Tiptoes, please don't try to tell me what makes a good picture. One last word of advice. Let's omit the customary blunder. In other words, don't throw your camera on the deck of the tanker and try to take the picture with the incendiary bomb. They tell me that doesn't work.
Dick, why did Junior want us to meet him at a soda fountain?
Not just to mooch a free soda patch, you can be sure of that. He didn't want to talk too much on the phone, but I gathered that he'd found something pretty important.
Well,
this is it.
Yeah, quite a place. Cut-rate soda fountain sandwiches at less than cost. That's an interesting business philosophy.
Oh, I like that sign better. We stand behind every sandwich we sell. That must keep someone awfully busy.
Yeah. I wonder where Junior is. There he is, over in that booth.
Don't speak to him yet, Pat. Let's walk over by him and see if it's all right to join him.
Yeah. He's signaling us to come over.
Well, I guess that means it's safe.
All right, Junior. Yeah, there.
Okay, here we go.
Well, what's up, Junior?
I found something while I was in the darkroom, but I was afraid they might discover it was gone and follow me. That's why I came only as far as the corner and then stayed in here where there'd be plenty of witnesses if they came after me and tried to take it back.
A good move. And what was it you found?
Well, it was this, Dick.
What you having, Jen?
Oh, nothing, thanks.
Look, Bob, you gotta pay for sitting in them seats some way. This ain't a charitable institution.
Well, give me a vanilla milkshake.
Okay, sport. How about you, handsome?
Bring me a tuna fish and whipped cream sandwich. Well done.
With or without?
With or without what?
Pickles and cherries.
Oh, with, of course. And don't stand behind it.
I never do. That's Mr. Garfinkel's job. Hey, Eddie.
Mr. Garfinkel.
Number one sandwich, regular.
All right now, Junior. What was it you found?
This. That's fine, but what is it?
Boy, it must be the print that Anna made up in order to make the second set of negatives. I found it sticking to the side of the wastebasket.
It's so faded, it's hard to tell what it is.
That's because she was in such a hurry, she probably didn't rinse it at all.
And the hypo just keeps on working if it isn't rinsed until it's eaten off the entire picture.
I see.
But look, the upper part of the picture isn't faded as bad as the rest. And you can see that the background is the same as that wreck picture he showed us.
Yeah, but what's that big blob of red in the center?
Well, I guess that's the new cosine that she used to paint out the valise that was stolen from the armored truck.
Yes, it's exactly the shape of the money carrier, all right.
Yeah, the only trouble is there isn't enough of the rest of the picture left to definitely prove that it really was the valise that was touched out.
I'm afraid Pat's right. A clever lawyer could bring up charges of a frame and say that we drew that red outline on there ourselves.
Then it isn't any good?
I didn't say that. It proves to us that we're right. But I've got to get the original negative.
Oh, they've probably been destroyed long ago.
Oh, I don't think so, Pat. You know, I've got a feeling that Anna may be keeping them for her own purposes.
No, in other words, it's a case of cherche la film.
You unspeakable cad. All right, come on, Junior. Let's go.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute.
Hey, what's the rush? Here's your sandwich. Delicious, too.
Oh, it's not what I wanted. I wanted it with brown gravy and marshmallow sauce.
But that's 5 cents extra.
Oh, hang the expense. Here's a dollar. Keep the change.
Thanks a lot, Bub. The bill's $1.02.
Yeah, I know, but you sell sandwiches for less than cost. It says so. Come on, Richard.
Hey, you gents is crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised if she had something there.
You know something, Dick? Maybe I was just a little bit hasty about that sandwich. Seems to me the least you could do is...
Hold it, Pat.
Hmm?
Tiptoes and Anna Stigmat were in that car that just started up. And unless I miss my guess, they're up to something. Come on, Pat. Let's go.
I'm right with you, my boy. And this time we're going to catch them dead to rights. Or better yet, just plain dead.
In a moment, we'll return to Dick Tracy. But first... Well, a few minutes ago, I started to tell you Tracy fans about Dr. Gartline's explanation for the Northern Lights. I explained how the sun throws off tremendous streams of electrified particles just as a rotating sprinkler throws off jets of water. Well, every once in a while, one of these streams hits the Earth as it travels through space. And when that happens, the Earth is drenched for hours or days with these particles. Of course, you know that on the Earth, the North Pole has an invisible field of magnetic force. That's a big sentence, but this magnetic force is really the thing that causes compass needles to point north. Well, this same magnetic force causes the particles that flow from the sun to go toward the North and South Poles. And once there, this steady stream of sun particles enters the upper part of the Earth's atmosphere, and the particles crash into atoms in the very thin upper air. The collisions cause the atoms to give off light, setting up a glow which can be seen by us from the Earth far below. And this glow is the aurora, the Northern Lights. Well, boys and girls, I hope this explanation was clear. And, oh yes, thanks, Dave. And now, back to Dick Tracy.
Well, a winter lightning storm. That's unusual.
Yes, I heard it. You know how I feel about electricity. I'm not sure I can go through with it tonight.
And which will prove stronger, Tiptoe's criminal craving for money or his craven terror of the lightning? Better be sure to tune in tomorrow for the adventures of Dick Tracy. This is George Gunn speaking. Have you Tracy fans any idea how Vox Pop MCs Parks Johnson and Warren Hull select such interesting people for their Wednesday night shows? Well, they're aided by officials of towns or festivals they intend to visit who distribute questionnaires to prospective interviewees. And then 5 days before the particular show, Vox Pop's staff narrows the field down to, 10 or 15 people. And when Johnson and Hull finally arrive on the scene, they select the final five or six for the program. And they spend quite some time with these people, finding out all about them. Vox Pop is well worth this intensive preparation, for it's one of radio's most absorbing programs. Why not listen for it on most ABC stations tomorrow night? This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Thanks for listening to Radio America, broadcast from the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope you've enjoyed our show as much as we have bringing it to you. If you have any ideas for upcoming shows, or would like to be a guest, or support this great broadcast, email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. That's radioamerica@inbox.com. Also, we're pleased to announce that we'll be offering CDs of great old-time radio shows. You'll get 50 different shows in MP3 format on CD for the low price of just $5 per CD, which includes shipping. For more information, email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. We'll see you next time on Radio America.